Hello and welcome to the 2018 edition of the Fantasy Olympian podcast. I am one of the co-founders of Fantasy Olympian, Brian Clark, and joining me on the other line, as always, he has been cleared to participate by the International Doping Committee. It's Jeremy Bridgman.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. I am glad I passed my test and will be joining everyone in 2018.
Yep, so you managed to slip past some of the Russian athletes there, and so they will let you see in Fantasy Olympian. So it's great to be back. This is, if you are new to our game, this is the 12th year or 6th Olympics that we've done this. It's been a lot of fun for us to watch it grow over the years from something that started out with just four of us friends playing back in 2006. To something that has thousands of participants all over the world today. And, it's something funny I was noticing earlier today. The more things change, the more they stay the same. 12 years later, 6 Olympic cycles, our lives have changed, the Olympics have changed, Fantasy Olympian has changed, and yet you can still go ahead and draft Shawnee Davis and Sean White and Lindsey Vonn, and probably expect to get some points out of that. So,
and Brian, I think that just shows the staying power of some of these top athletes, and I think it's been fun to grow the Fantasy Olympian as we grow with these Olympians. So I think that's going to be a fun segment of the U.S. Team USA to watch and cheer for, and it'll be a shame when they eventually hang it up, but for now, let's enjoy their performances and hope some people out there can get some points off of them.
Absolutely. So just to give a quick recap for those who either haven't played before or, obviously no one's played in the last couple of years, a quick reminder of just how the rules of the game work in case you're needing a refresher on Fantasy Olympian. You're going to be drafting athletes. You're not drafting countries. I know I've seen some fantasy games out there where you draft a country or draft a sport or you're trying to guess the overall medal total. That's not how we do it here. We're looking at athletes. So you're going to end up with a team of 10 athletes plus one tiebreaker country. And for every medal that athlete gets, you're going to get a point. 3 points for a gold, 2 points for a silver, and 1 point for a bronze medal. And I do say every medal, so that's why it's important to look at individuals who are participating in multiple events, because you might be thinking that, for example, let's say Sean White, let's say you're a big Sean White fan, have been forever, and you're certain he's going to win gold this year, fantastic, but that means the most he can get you is 3 points. Whereas if you look at someone who's over in the cross-country skiing or the biathlon or the downhill skiing, they're doing a lot of different events and have the possibility to bring in 3, 4, 5 medals and a lot more points. So that's something you've got to keep in mind as you draft your team. Then you also are drafting a tiebreaker country, but you've got to remember that your tiebreaker country only comes into play if there's a tie. So you can theoretically draft your tiebreaker country in any round, but it's not going to get you any more points in the overall. The way that our site is set up now, thanks to some work by some great programmers, you can do an automated draft online, something that we weren't able to offer in the early years. So if you do the automated draft, you can do it that way. But we also still know that a lot of people like to get together and do their draft either in person or via Instagram. Instant messaging, text messaging app. Obviously, we welcome folks to do that. You just got to make sure that you get those draft results entered by the time the Olympics start. And in terms of adding and dropping athletes, we've had a lot of questions about that. You can add, you can drop, you can trade between teams. That can all be done right there within the application on the website. The only rule is that once an athlete can competes in their first event, they're locked into your roster. So if you're going to be doing any of that adding and dropping and trading, make sure you do that before the person you're wanting to drop starts. So, for example, if you've got somebody on the curling team, they're going to be locked in right away, because that's some of the first events coming out of the gate. So, yeah, that's a refresher on the rules. Jeremy, anything you think I'm leaving out from a rule standpoint that would be important for a new person to know?
Yeah, I would just highlight that team sports are considered to be an athlete. So, for example, the men's hockey team is considered one athlete. You are individually drafting the goalie and the right winger and all that. So if someone drafts USA men's hockey, they are off the table. So that means one team, one event, one chance for medals. And that is different than what, Brian, you said earlier, say a speed skater who competes both individually and in the relay. There's a chance there for multiple events, and the relay team wouldn't be selected as a unit because it's made up of other individual athletes. So that's a strategy to look at some more, quote, sure things from the team event in sort of the later round picks, because it may be a good lock for 3 points to shoot at the Canadian men's hockey team, but there's only one chance and one event, and it's going to play out over the course of the whole game. So probably not something you should target in the early rounds, but probably something you could consider towards your medal count.
Right. And that takes us into what I wanted to talk about next, so way to transition like a pro there, is some of the strategy and tips for people who haven't played before or even people who have played before who are looking to do better. You know, what are the ways to work within this system to try to succeed? And one of the things that I would emphasize, and this is important because if you've played our summer version of this before, it is different. For the Winter Olympics, you get to take international athletes. There are a lot fewer events. There are a lot fewer athletes. And thus, we open it up to every single participant at the Winter Olympics. And just as a housekeeping note, I'll note that, you know, we've tried to put on our big board of athletes, you know, over 350 athletes that we think are likely to medal or that we think people are likely to want to draft. But if you see someone that you want to draft and they're not on our board, let us know and we will get them added. You know, it's just from a man-hour standpoint, we don't have the time to literally add every single person. But anyone who's participating in the Olympics is eligible to be drafted in Fantasy Olympics. Now, what that means from a strategy standpoint is don't get stuck in the NBC vortex and think that the American athletes are the only ones that are there. You know, if you went over to NBCOlympics.com right now and looked at some of their stories, you might think that the American figure skaters were some of the most sure thing medalists at these Olympics. Or you might think that some of the great human interest stories from the USA are the athletes that you want to be focused on. And I don't want to diminish in any way those folks' accomplishments. I mean, anybody who's at the Olympics is amazing. But if you're wanting to win a fantasy Olympics, you need to broaden your horizons a little bit and look to other countries, because the odds are the United States is not going to win the medal tally this year. If I were going to guess at this point, I'd say they're going to finish third or fourth. So, you know, be looking at those international athletes, particularly the ones in multiple events. You know, a lot of Norwegians should be going off the board high if you're looking to win your league.
Right, I think that's a really good point, and I think that leads into, you know, the team event versus, you know, an athlete playing on multiple. I think one strategy, at least in the early rounds, is to really look at the speed skating. You've got to look at the South Koreans. You've got to look at the Netherlands. You've got to look at the Germans. They always put up strong speed skating teams, Olympics after Olympics. And these athletes are going to be in multiple events, especially the short track speed skating. They run events back-to-back. They run them quickly. They run a lot of them. So I think in the early rounds, you're really going to look to scoop up the athletes that have the most events, the most potential for medals, especially if they land themselves on a relay team. That's going to be a strategy for the early round drafting.
Yeah. Now, I will say, you have to balance that. I was thinking about this the other day as I thought back to our original Fantasy Olympics, and I'll see if you remember this. But, you know, the very first year we did this, we kind of got the idea together with
us and a couple other friends, and we all got on a conference call to do this draft. And nobody really talked strategy. We didn't have a big board, so everybody was just kind of had come up with their own list of people they wanted to draft. One of our friends executed what I've come to call the Kim Gambit, and he drafted a short track speed skater named Haley Kim. Now, if you haven't heard of Haley Kim, she's a very talented speed skater, but she's never won an Olympic medal. So, you know, it was a bold strategy to draft her very high in the draft, but he was thinking primarily about how many events the short track speed skater would be involved in. It ended up not working out so well for him because Haley didn't win any medals. So, you know, as you look at the people doing the multiple events, keep the Kim Gambit in mind. You know, you want to get somebody with a lot of events, but they also need to have a probability of winning those events.
Well, that's why you got to look at the teammates. I remember I won my league in 2008, I think it was, with and I did not have Michael Phelps. I know it's a swimmer game, but I picked the swimmers as instead of were his teammates. So if you take, if your favorite is off the board, take the relay teammates. You know, you can kind of draft on to the other success. There's less opportunities for that in the winter games, but that's the kind of a sneaky play is to try to get the teammates of the main athlete on the relay team.
And the other thing I would tell you is do not shy away from what, at least by American standards, are obscure events. Again, I don't mean to crap on figure skating, but, you know, the figure skaters will get all the prime time coverage. And that's going to be one of the main things that the Olympic coverage is focused on throughout the games. And, you know, figure skating is great, but it's only one event. You know, if you're in the ladies' competition, the men's competition, you know, you're looking at one medal. Maybe now in the new format you could also win the team medal, but you're much better served in terms of your draft by looking at the biathlon, which is, I'm in this, and you and I actually, Jeremy, went to the biathlon a number of years ago, but I talked to some people about the biathlon, and they say, now, what is that? You know, they don't even know what the biathlon is. That's the one where skiing and shooting combine. And so biathlon, though, they have a lot of different distances, a lot of different disciplines, mass start, sprint, time trial. So, there's a lot of different opportunities to collect medals. Same thing with cross-country skiing. There's a lot of different distances. There's also different styles. So, again, more opportunities to collect medals. So, be looking at those events. Don't just say, biathlon, I don't even know what that is. I'm going to skip over this person in my draft because you can be leaving a lot of points on the table. So speaking of the points that are on the table, Jeremy, who is somebody that you would say for this coming Olympics is the best bet for you? If you have an opportunity to grab them in your draft, you're going to definitely go with.
Well, I think, especially based on what you just pointed out with the biathlon, I have to just segue and point to the top of our big board. Laura Dahlmeier, a biathlete out of Germany, and Martin Fourcade, a biathlete out of France. Each of them are going to be participating in six events this cycle. We're projecting that Laura is going to get 16 points, Martin 15. This is far and away the top point totals that we are projecting. So to me, the best bet falls into everything we've been talking about. Prime number of events, elite Olympic athlete, chance for high points. So if you have the top pick in your draft, top two or three, I think you're going for these athletes. Regardless of how it turns out, you're going to score some points. It's probably going to be the highest points in the league. So you've got to start there regardless.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Now, I feel like there's probably going to be some people who are scared off by Martin Fourcade, because in our last Olympics, I don't know if you recall, he was topped on our big board going into the Olympics and then didn't end up with nearly as many points coming out. I mean, that's, as everyone says, that's why they play the game. Now, he's had a great 4 years since then, and it looks like he's coming back very strong. But
moreover, the Norwegian king of biathlon, Ole Eleanor Bjørnadon, probably butchered the name, he's not back this year. First Olympics in, I think, there's 4 or 5 cycles. So to me, the biathlon is wide open, and if you're going favorite, I think you got to stick with the favorite.
Yeah, I agree. I would just say if you are scared off by Forcade because let's say you had a bad experience with him the last go around, there's a whole crop of primarily Norwegian biathletes coming up behind him that are also ranked highly on our list. So if you do want to go down to that next rung, there's definitely other opportunities there. But for me, once you get out of those first couple levels, the biggest sort of thing for me is, if you are definitely going to get points, you're not looking for high risk, high reward. You want definite points. Michaela Schifrin is the way to go, the U.S. skier. She won a gold 4 years ago in the slalom when, she was very young. And over the last 4 years, she's just continue to get better and better. She's been fantastic on the World Cup Tour. She's expanding more and more her repertoire, not just from the slalom, but also now starting to, be really dominant in the giant slalom events and starting to reach out into the downhill combined as well. I think it's a very strong possibility that she'll end up with at least 3 gold medals in the Olympics, and particularly on the slalom, she's just been dominant for years. In fact, of the last 26 World Cup slalom events, she has won 25 of them. There's no reason to believe that she's not going to continue her run of hot form here. I had her on my team 4 years ago and got points out of it, and if I can get on my team this year, I will definitely be doing that.
I think that's the top target if you're looking to form a primarily USA team. Michaela Schifrin has got to be top of your USA list. And I think if you're looking at some later round sure things, end of first round, top of second, I'm targeting some German losers myself. You've got the double spare of Eggert and Bennigan, and you've got Felix Locke as well. I think that's a pretty good, we're looking at solid 6 on each of them. So to me, if you're finding yourself towards the later round one, that's a good target. You've got some options there to get some points.
Yeah, I mean, that German luge team is just so dominant. There will be a German luger in first place for men, women, and doubles, and certainly for the relay. That's, you can take that to the bank. There's probably no more of a sure thing in the Olympics. It's always possible that there could be an upset where a different German upset the German that we think is going to win, but I would bet the farm that there's going to be Germans in those slots. In general, everything over at the sliding pavilion, the German bobsled teams are also fantastic. If you want to go a little deeper on your board there, who's a sleeper for you this year? Who's somebody that you think might be worth taking a look at that doesn't stand out so much?
Well, I think, the first one, you wouldn't think he's a sleeper if you've been watching the NBC coverage, but I'm watching Nathan Chen in the figure skating. He's had a great performance at the USA Championship. He's the first skater with 5 quadruple jumps in a program. I'm thinking he's going to make a pretty big splash, both in the individual and the team program. So if you're looking figure skating, if you're looking for that fine time sleeper pick, because, again, I don't think it's going to be a huge number of points, but I think he has a chance to surprise. I personally would stay away from the women's figure skating. It's going to be a beautiful performance, but the team hasn't been to the podium since 2006, and I don't see it happening this year. But for me, Nathan Chen is someone that I think has that sleeper quality, but still has that profile to be attractive to a lot of people.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. Another American I would throw out is Jesse Diggins, who leads what's probably the strongest
U.S. cross-country skiing team, particularly on the women's side, that we've ever sent. The U.S. has never won an Olympic medal in women's cross-country skiing, but Jessie and her teammates have a really strong opportunity to change that. They've performed extremely well at Worlds, both individually and as a team in the relay event. And I think there's a real chance that Jessie might end up coming in with multiple medals in cross-country skiing this year, which would be a great breakthrough. Another one, and again, this kind of goes more to our obscure sports, and this is one that, you know, I want to emphasize because she's not necessarily someone that you see pop up on a big board, is Daria Domracheva. She's from Belarus, and she competes in the biathlon. And if you don't know the biathlon, that's probably not a name you've ever heard. And if you're looking at our board, you probably haven't seen her on it because at this point we're not projecting her to winning the event. But she won 3 gold medals at the Alaska Olympics, and she's back. So anytime you've got a returning 3-time gold medalist, that's something you've got to take a look at. And she's had a good season this year, and just probably someone you shouldn't ignore. She was a name that, as we were putting together our big board, I kept tossing around, and you know, I wasn't quite ready to project her to, you know, medal in any of the events. But I'm also aware that she's someone who could medal in most of the biathlon events. So you know, it's possibly a high risk, high reward pick there that definitely would be worth taking a look at. So, Jeremy, we talked a bit before about how a lot of the athletes, the names we've heard for years, are still around, which is great. You know, Deshaun White, Lindsey Vonn, Shawna Davis, you know, they've all been with us for the last 12 years at least. What are your thoughts on what we can expect out of those folks at this year's Olympics?
Well, shout out to Sean and Davis who gave us some love on Twitter today. That made my Olympic cycle. But I think for me, of the names you mentioned, you know, I'm looking at Shawn White. He missed the podium in Sochi in 2014, so he's sort of out for the gold again. I think it was a big surprise to everyone when he finished fourth, but he's still capable of putting down the Olympic medal winning run. So for me, I think we expect to see him back on the podium. I don't know in terms of a draft position what that would look like, but if I was looking at someone to be sort of a sleeper sure thing, Chloe Kim is a silver I'm looking at. She was too young to compete in the games in 2014, but she would have, her qualifications would have made her the top member of the team. So look for Chloe Kim to come out big this year in terms of sort of a sleeper pick for later on. So to me, that's sort of the combo of, you know, Team USA snowboarding has always been dominant. They basically invented this as a sport so that we could win more medals. And I think the rest of the world is catching up to us, but I think we can see Chloe and Sean on the medal podium this year.
Yeah, that's definitely there's definitely more snowboarding prowess coming out of the other countries, but there's also always still some great Americans in the mix. I think Chloe has the possibility to even on the women's side, you might even see a sweep. You know, potentially, you know, you've got Kelly Clark back in there again, who's been around for a long time, another athlete who's seen over several Olympic cycles. You know, Shawn White, on one hand, you know, he's been doing this for a long time now, and he didn't podium at the last Olympics. On the other hand, he just came off a few weeks ago a perfect score at one of his events, which is just insane. So he's definitely still throwing it down. Consider him to be a strong podium threat. Lindsey Vonn also, you know, she's battled through so many injuries over the years, but, again, there's never been an American winner like her. She just won her 80th race, which is, you know, record, you know, extending her own record. And I just feel like if you give her a full Olympic
set of races, I feel like she's definitely going to find the podium at least once. It just seems impossible to me that she wouldn't. So, definitely somebody who's worth a shot. Shawnee Davis, much love to him as a longtime champion, world record holder, just, one of the all-time greats in speed skating. For me, though, I think probably a stay away for fantasy Olympic purposes. Because he's, I believe he's only doing the one race this time, and really for him, just having made it back to the Olympics at this point in his career is a huge accomplishment, and not something that should be diminished at all. But I don't expect to see him on the medal stand, although hopefully he'll prove me wrong. One of the things that's always going to get a lot of attention with these games is. It's hockey, and Jeremy, I know you're a big hockey guy. What can you tell us about the Olympic hockey preview?
Well, this is going to be a very interesting and fun time for Olympic hockey. If you're excited about that, because it's going to be the first time since 1994 that NHL players are not involved. So for the casual hockey fan who maybe recognizes some names, that might be a little bit of a turnoff, but for people that love hockey, it's going to be good to see some of the amateurs, some of the college kids on Team USA, how they can gel and come together. So I think that's exciting. You've got to look at Canada for this. Obviously, they've won the past three best-on-best tournaments, the 2016 World Cup, the 2014 Olympics, and the 2010 Olympics. So in terms of your favorite, I think Canada is pretty much a lock for one of the medals. Team Russia, or I should say the Olympic Athletes of Russia, OAR, they have actually qualified, and they're putting together a team that is actually sort of a favorite in my mind. They've got former NHL players like Pavel Datsyuk and Ilya Kovalchuk that are going to be captaining that team. So look for them to regain medal position. Don't necessarily think about gold. Team Russia has yet to strike gold since the Unified team did in 1992. But I do expect against a field of relative amateurs for Team Russia to show up big. So to me, it's Russia, Canada, and then Team Sweden always turns up well for the international. So that's your favorites there, gold Sweden, silver Russia, bronze Canada. I'm calling it that way. A little bit of an upset in terms of the Canadians moving down the podium. Women's hockey is all about Canada and the U.S. It's been U.S. and Canada meeting for gold in all 18 world championships. The U.S. won the inaugural women's hockey tournament, the inaugural women's gold in 1998 in Nagano. Team Canada has won women's gold ever since then. The U.S. women's hockey team is returning some Olympians from the 2014 squad. So look for them to put together a strong tournament, but I think it's going to be Canada gold, USA silver, as always. Probably Team Finland for the silver, or sorry, for the bronze, but far and away your favorites are Canada and the U.S. So if you're looking for a later round, sure bet on a team sport, women's hockey U.S. and women's hockey Canada are pretty much locked in my mind.
Then sticking on the ice, I know you've got a passion for the curling. What do you think we can expect from the curling events this year?
The curling bug bit me a long time ago, and I'm very excited every year it comes around. For me, in the men's curling, the Canadian men, and in the women's side too, Canada, it's their sport, it's their passion. I expect the men's team and the women's team to both come home with the gold. Team USA on the men's side, still helmed by John Schuster. It was a bit of a surprise when he won the trials this year. They rejiggered the qualification process for Team USA, and he came out on top. So I think he's got that thirst to actually come and compete this year. They were out of medal contention before the round robin 4 years ago, but I'm seeing Schuster and his mates come in with the bronze this year. Very exciting potential there. On the biggest development on the curling side is the introduction of mixed doubles curling. It has been on the club level and for the international circuit for a while, but it's going to be the first year for the Olympics as mixed doubles. It's going to be a faster-paced version of the traditional four-person game, and it's going to have one male and one female athlete naturally. They're going to have less rocks, but higher degree of difficulty, so it's going to be a really exciting time to see this come together. So we're actually putting Switzerland on as the gold medal favorite. The Olympic athletes from Russia has silver. And I'm putting the USA in for the bronze medal, most notably because it's going to be Becca Hamilton and her brother Matt Hamilton, siblings from Fort McFarland, Wisconsin, who not only are playing on their respective men's squad and women's squad, but they are going to be the mixed doubles team. So for me, I think that's going to be a fun tournament to watch. I think it's going to bring a new level of excitement to an already exciting game. So tune in for the mixed doubles, and hopefully you can score some points for your fantasy team as well.
Outstanding.
So last, I just want to kind of look at what we're thinking for the overall Olympics this year. Obviously, the last Winter Olympics were fantastic for Team USA. Set a record for four medals in a Olympics outside of the United States, and actually won the medal tally, which does not usually happen in the Winter Olympics for the Team USA. I don't expect that to happen again. Not because they're not sending a strong team, but just because the odds of that are down. The Norwegian team that's going this year is extremely strong. I've seen odds as high as 3-2 that they're going to win. Norway would win the medal total. I expect the German team to also be a strong team. I think USA is going to be right there with Canada probably fighting for that number three spot, if I was going to guess where we're going to be in the overall medal total. But, obviously, hope it might be higher than that, but that would be my guess. Do you have any other thoughts on what we might expect just big picture out of this year?
Big picture, I think it'll just be interesting to see how the Russian athletes perform, since they're on their own. They had to requalify individually. They won't have that team support that usually goes with a dominant Russian squad that we see in the Winter Olympics. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they perform relative isolation. I think that's just going to be an interesting storyline to keep tabs on. I think I agree with you in terms of the overall medal count. If you're looking for your tiebreaker country, Norway's got to be your first one. 4 years ago, they had the highest gold medal count, which is, by the way, our tiebreaker works. Most gold medals for a country, then most silver, is not most overall medal count. So although you might have had USA 4 years ago, you would have lost the tiebreaker to Norway because they had more gold medals. So something to keep in mind as you're picking your tiebreaker country. It's probably Norway, Canada, Germany, tops for that. But that's I think, the big overall storyline for me. I'm interested to see how this all gets going, and I'm just excited that we're back and better than ever.
Absolutely. It's exciting to be back. We're looking forward to experiencing the Olympics with all of you this time around. Jeremy, thanks for joining me, and thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see if we're able to get you another podcast here sometime during the Olympics. We might check in on some of the events that are going on or answer any questions people may have. But until then, everyone enjoy the Olympics, enjoy Fantasy Olympian, and we'll talk to you soon.